Hey everybody, this is Lisa Sweet Corona, and you're listening to Power Rock Podcast with host Jim Madonna.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I'd like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe. From indie to mainstream, whether it be rock, metal, heavy metal, speed metal, contemporary, melodic rock, we got it all. And today is no different, because today, friends, I'm here to tell you I have a very special guest on the line, Miss Lisa Sweet Corona. That's right, the sister of Robert and Michael Sweet of Striper. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Lisa, I really, truly want to thank you for taking your time and giving me a call. This, for me, is an honor to have you on my show, and especially being the sister of Michael and Robert Sweet of Striper. This is just a wonderful opportunity.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here and talk with you. I don't do a lot of interviews, so this is really going to be interesting.
Lisa, how about we start? How was it growing up with Michael and Robert?
Well, music has always been a really big part of our family. My mother and father have always been big into music. They've always encouraged it in all three of us. And even outside of that, my grandmother was always into music. Her siblings were always into music. Many people in our family are very musically talented. So it started at a very young age. I would say we're all very close in age, about a year and a half apart. So I would say around, 6 or 7 for Robert, and that's, my grandmother would line us all up, all three of us, and make us do 3-part harmony, as children that young, to old classics like Make the World Go Away and stuff like that.
So, I mean,
it started very, very young.
When, you guys got older and, kind of went through the Roxy Regime thing and Striper started to form, was there any time in your life you wanted to be in the spotlight and be on stage? And
well, actually, yes. And for a while I had my own country band. It wasn't till I was about 27 when I started to pursue that. In fact, my mother and I, we went into the studio and did about a 4-song demo where we did some country duets together. Because at that time, that's what we were going to be pursuing. This was after Striper had already, established themselves, stuff like that. And then I kind of, put together my own country band and did that for several years.
I'm glad you shared that with me, because I wouldn't have taken you as the country type of lady. I'm thinking rock and roll.
People make that common assumption, I guess, just naturally, that I would be, kind of like this metal chick. Because, my brothers are into that type of music, but really I'm kind of eclectic, so but I kind of sway more toward country and kind of pop music.
What's a hilarious story that you'd like to share with the general public? We'll say,
can you be more specific? Hilarious story.
Well, just something maybe that the general public doesn't know, maybe something that
hilarious story. Okay, I will tell you this, because a lot of my stories, of course I know a lot about them, working with Striper as adult, but I have a lot of childhood memories with these guys,
Sure.
Things that I don't really know that other siblings experience, like might have been really, really hilarious for them, maybe not so much for me. But there was a couple of times when my brother thought it would be a great idea while I was taking a nap to tie me to my bed and use permanent Sharpie markers to mark all over my face, to which I woke up and couldn't really do much. And they're laughing hysterically, and I couldn't go to school for a couple of days because I couldn't get the stuff off my face. So they thought, little pranks like that they were always doing, always.
What was your revenge strategy? what was your tactic in saying, they did this to me, now it's my turn?
Well, okay, there was another incident when we were kids where my brothers, it seemed like, because I was the only girl and they're the two boys, that they were always kind of teaming up together. And so we had this big backyard one time, and they said, let's play, softball. Lisa, you pitch. Mike, you're going to bat. And Bob, you're going to catch. Okay. Well, I didn't know that they had already kind of talked between them that Mike was going to intentionally hit me with the ball with the bat. So I pitched a few times and it came kind of close, and I'm kind of getting this idea. Like, I'm like, hey, you know, what are you doing? And so he's kind of snickering at me, which, you know, they're both kind of laughing and everything. So I know something's up. So then I pitch it again, and then he beams me with the ball. So I get so mad at them because now they're like, you know, holding their stomach, you know, barreling over, laughing. So I run over and I get this tetherball pole, and I pick it up out of the ground, and I start chasing them around, hitting them with it. So that was my way of getting back with them. However, they cornered me on the front porch to where I believe Bob held my hands behind my back, and Mike put a silver pail over my head and was uppercutting me in the stomach to where my dad opened the door and completely busted him.
Oh, wow. Lisa, would you say, as a whole, growing up, did you guys have what we would call a normal childhood, or do you feel that maybe because of such, you know, a history of music at such a young age, including yourself, you know, the whole entire family being, you know, involved in music, did you ever feel like maybe part of your life was, you felt cheated out of your childhood?
No, not at all. In fact, the opposite. I mean, what we would do every pretty much most Sundays is we would go to church, and then after church we'd have a jam session at my grandmother's house for the most part. We'd have supper after church and then have a big jam session where anybody and everybody could drop by, whether that be family or friends, and we did it for hours. And we did this regularly, even when we lived in California. Then we also lived in Oklahoma for a brief time, and we also did it there. So it's just something that I don't feel cheated at all. I feel like, you know, we have something that's unique and different.
Let's go ahead and fast forward a little bit. I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that don't know this, you, not only being the sister of Robert and Michael, but you also was an employee for Striper. How about some history
Correct.
About that?
Okay, well, I worked for them for about a little over 8 years. I worked in their offices. I did computer work for them. When I went to go work for, and now this was their private management offices. This is where I worked with my mom, Janice, who was managing them, and it was the private management offices of the band. So that's where I worked. They basically didn't really have a lot of technology when I came on board. So it was kind of like my job to kind of get them up and running, get their mailing base underway, because at that time they had a whole garage full of bins of mail of people that needed to be loaded into the system. So they could be made aware of future concert dates, just anything that was going on. And we had all the U.S., you know, states and foreign countries. So it was quite an undertaking.
So you basically were responding to emails and trying to just...
This was before emails, Jim.
Before?
This was before emails.
So you're talking about, you mean like paper and pen and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. No emails. This was where basically we had to come up with, because a lot of people were writing in, and there were, of course, were particular situations where they were not the norm. I don't really want to go into too much detail, but really people that really needed some serious prayer, or there was some real serious crisis going on in their life with either suicide or something like that. So those ones were special and addressed differently. But we had a lot of general mail where we came up with form letters of people that were inquiring about merchandise or, you know, concert dates or whatever it may be, you know. So we were able to kind of answer a bulk mail that way. Because, you know, again, this is before real technology came on. I mean, this was back when, what is it, DOS was like the the biggest computer thing back then?
Well, I remember the first computer that I think it was a Radio Shack computer, TRS-80 or something like that. Old school stuff. Just I remember
very,
that.
Very old school. Yeah, very old school.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was different, you know. But that was my role working for them. And of course, our role in the offices was to do whatever needed to be done. Really, I mean, there were times when we all sat around the table stuffing envelopes for mailers, you know, to get them out by a certain time for certain concerts and things like that to certain fans. And of course, you know, we all had our Bible studies that we'd have at the office regularly.
At the end of, would it be the end of Striper breaking up, or was it the end of, you were the last person to leave? Is that correct?
Uh-huh. Yes, that's correct.
I mean, you stayed right to the very end.
Yes, for the management offices.
Okay.
Which were the personal management offices of the band.
So there was multiple management companies involved.
Well, they had, at the time that I worked for them, Janice was their manager. This was when they didn't have any other management other than Janice.
Out of all the albums that Striper has, I mean, so many amazing tunes out there. We're going to play some songs throughout this interview. What would be your number one favorite song that Striper has put out?
Without a doubt, Hell with the Devil.
Why?
I love that song. You know, there were so many concerts that I went to where they opened with that, and I just love the feel of it. There's just something about that song that I just love.
Well, it is.
I really love Mike's voice in it, too.
It's an all-around great song. To Hell with the Devil with Striper on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're with Lisa Carone. Lisa, now, what do you think you would have done differently to try to help the band in their success? Or was there any
No, that never really came into play. My role was really just to help support them in the offices and do what I could there. You know, I've always supported my brothers in Striper and Austin Tim. They're all a great band, and that's really primarily been my role.
Each member of Striper, you know, reaches out to this day, you know, and they express their gratitude and support with their fans, you know, and I think it's really amazing. You know, you're not around 30 years for nothing. You know,
there is,
you know, Striper as a whole has surfaced this entire planet. You know, they've been on every continent, I believe, haven't they?
Yep.
You know, they've been around the world. I can't say everybody's heard of them, but, you know, they have definitely have left an impression and still leaving impressions and spreading the word of God and just doing what they love to do, you know?
Right.
You know, you find...
Well, I know the guys love their fans, but I have to say that I have never seen really a more dedicated group of fan base through Striper. You know, some of the fans that I've met through the years, you know, on Facebook, I've met a lot of really, really good Striper fans. And it's just kind of amazing that, you know, they're just as dedicated, devoted today as they were when they first started.
Right. And I'm glad you said that because I would like to give Michael Kohler a shout out for operating Striper Tube, the official Striper Tube channel on YouTube. Michael, you know, I know Michael personally. I love Michael to death. And, you know, when Dave Rose approached him, I think it was maybe 6-7 years ago, and asked him if he wanted to take over the Striper Tube channel, Michael has done an amazing job. His dedication to the band and organizing it and you know, keeping it so updated. And he's done an impeccable job. And I just really feel it's important to say, you know, thank you, Michael, for, you know, all you do and are doing for the band and for the fans that make it so accessible.
Absolutely. Hey, give a shout out to Michael.
There it is, you know. Michael's a good man. He really is. He's
Well, I know him from Facebook. He seems like a really great guy. His wife Tammy seems like a great girl. Of course, we want to thank them for all their hard work.
Yeah, Mike and I have I've gone on the road with Mike when he was working for another company, and you know, we'd go away for 4 days and we'd have a riot. And he's been to my home. I've been to his home. You know, Thanksgiving dinners and stuff, and he's a real blessing.
Oh, the chicken neck, or the turkey neck.
There it is. There you go. I told him. I said,
the turkey neck made the interview. All right.
For a very long time, I had my own company. I was a tile setter by trade, and I had my own company for 25 years. Money really wasn't, well, it was always a problem, but, you know, but I didn't go really without lacking a whole lot, if you will. And during the holiday season, I would always, whether it was my employees, I would always go out and find somebody that was a little less fortunate than myself and invite them to my home and have them sit with me and my family and have dinner. That felt as the least I could do for somebody.
Right.
Michael was the very first person that came to me when I got down on my luck. And it was the very first time in my life that I could not, you know, invite somebody to my home. And Michael stepped up to the plate and he invited me to his home.
All right.
You know, it was a really touching moment. Yeah, you know, I just had to get that out.
Well, that's really cool. And this is where you partook of the turkey neck?
That's right. That's how the turkey neck came in. Because you talked about Thanksgiving, you know, and I says, well, you know, that don't throw that turkey. Now you can throw all that giblet stuff away. I don't want nothing to do with that. But
I don't know why I think that's so funny, but it is.
I got to have the turkey neck. It's just...
Well, right on. There's nothing wrong with that. Speaking of also, like, some charity work, you know, there was also some time in the Striper office where we would do other things other than our normal Striper daily work, basically. You know, we had some moments where we all pitched in money, and the guys, you know, pitched in some money, and we went and bought blankets. Of course, we had the Striper Bibles, and we bought, you know, toothpaste and, you know, toiletries and then edibles, snacks, you know, canned goods and things like that. And we put together these packages, and we, and the people that worked in the office, which was probably about 8 of us at the time, we worked in groups of 2 and had these packages, and we went out to basically parks and things like that where the homeless were and gave these out and just kind of spread the word and stuff like that. It really wasn't about Striper necessarily. It was just about, you know, doing something good. And we tried to do things like that around the holiday time.
You know, I think that's wonderful, and I think it's so imperative. Do we just do it on the holidays? You know, I think, you know, every day is Thanksgiving because we all have so much to be thankful for. Whether,
right.
You know, we may not be where we want to be, but thank God we're not where we were. That's how I feel about it. But I do want to, I want to jump back and go back in time a little bit. I neglected to ask you this question, but when Striper was being formed and the yellow and black, the bumblebee kind of thing came into play, what was your feelings on that? And how did the, how did you go along? Was it something that you were for? You know, did you like the concept of the yellow and black, the bumblebee thing? Was it, were you against it, or what?
No, I was not against it. I thought yellow and black was really catchy. You know, it first came about with Robert having, using the caution colors, which are generally, you know, yellow and black. And then, you know, stripes were the Isaiah 53:7, which by his stripes we were healed. So that's where the stripes came about. So it, you know, it made sense to me, you know. So I was for it.
Was there anybody in the Striper camp against it?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Right. I don't think we're ever the obstacle that the guys faced. This was after, you know, they kind of became more established, where their attire became more the subject of the conversation rather than the colors.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm gonna put you on the spot. I've heard different things, but we'll hear it from you. Is Striper a Christian band?
Striper is a band made of Christians.
There's a big difference. Would you agree?
Yes.
And that is why, you know, since they have started, they've had that bullseye on their chest, because
right, I think they got labeled that.
Well, they did. I, you know, when back in the day, when other people were their managers, there was a lot of derogatory talk, satanic talk, things that were just completely off the hook, and they've always been attacked for that. I love the way you said it, and my interpretation of it all along was is that they believed in Jesus Christ and they sang about God. But they were not a Christian band, and some people just don't know that, and you tell them that.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, there's nothing wrong if you want to call them that. You can, but they've never addressed themselves as that. You know, they're Christian guys that are in a band that, you know, their message is about God. You know, but they've never actually, to my knowledge, have labeled themselves as a Christian band. I've always, you know, these guys are just regular guys, just like you and me, have their faith and put it out there, trying to make a difference.
Well said. There's a song that I want to play, which is one of my favorite songs, and it's called The Way. What do you think about that tune?
To be honest with you, you're going to kill me. I have not heard this song.
Are you serious?
I'm getting ready to hear it for the first time.
Lisa, I'm going to keep this in the interview. I'm not going to edit it out at all. You're serious, right? You've never heard the song The Way?
I've never heard the song, no. I'm
okay,
serious.
All right. Well, here it is, The Way.
All right.
With Striper on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
Always the same.
back with Lisa Caron, the sister of Michael and Robert Sweet of Striper. And there you have it, Lisa, the very first time for the song, The Way.
That was crazy good, Jim.
I had seen Lisa one time. You wrote something on Facebook, if I remember correctly, something about a garage. I don't know what you were talking about. Can you elaborate to me on what you were referring to?
Well, the only thing I could be referring to is Robert had this idea where he wanted to, now this was like probably when he was like 12 or 13, somewhere around in there, where he wanted to turn our parents' garage into a soundproof studio. And he asked my parents if he could do this. I couldn't believe they let him. You know, how many parents would let their kid take over their garage, you know?
Right.
And then he would go and we kind of lived on this residential street, but half of it was also a private industrial street. And I think he went back to those businesses back there and looked for like foam and eggshell curtains and all different kinds of things that he could put up in the garage to soundproof it. And he finally got it all done, and that's when he started, you know, having other musicians over that were just teenagers to start forming his band.
That's cool. Yeah, it definitely, you're right. It was nice of your parents to allow their son to do that, because I tried to park my bicycle in my garage one time, and my father wouldn't.
That was just a bicycle.
Yeah, right. You know, that was for his truck, you know. So, hey, that's cool. You know, it's nice that you shared that bit of information that we have talked about through this interview. You know, it's always nice to be able to get the opportunity, get some inside stories on band members and, you know, get that history and get your perspective as the, you know, not only the sister, but the, you know, the business aspect. You know, you get that whole story together, you know, I mean, there's so many things that I'm sure that we could sit here for hours and talk about, but I know that you're a busy lady. I think we'll go ahead and we're going to close this interview out. And I just truly want to thank you again, Lisa, for, you know, taking this time and speaking with me. I'm just a little fish in a big pond, and, you know, you've blessed me. I want to say, you know, thank you, and you are in my prayers.
Oh, well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity, you know, to just talk about the guys, and I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope the fans have enjoyed it out there, and, you know, thank you, and God bless you, Jim.
Thank you so much. Well, there you have it, an interview with Lisa Caron, the sister of Michael and Robert Sweet of Striper. I'm Jim Madonna, Power Rock Podcast. Peace.